Hello and welcome to the third episode of Ashes to Ashes, where we'll be talking all things cricket between England and Australia, which is now well underway. On today's programme, Timmy Teasers, we'll put you, the listeners, on the spot and see how much you know with some cricket trivia. The gossip, we'll hear all the news as we've gone into Perth. I'll look back at England's agonising defeat in Adelaide and discuss the main things that went wrong there. And we'll hear the predictions. Can England do the impossible and turn the series on its head, or will it be the same old story? You're listening to Burst. Hello and welcome to the third episode of Ashes to Ashes. In the studio today we have Will Trimble doing all the production and we also have James Furnish. How are you, James?
Perfect, mate. How are you?
Very well, very well. Due to unforeseen circumstances, it will just be me and James talking about the cricket today.
What a treat for everyone that is, by the way.
Yes, and what a treat. And what a treat we have, first of all. We have some more Timmy Teasers. For anyone that didn't hear Timmy Teasers last week, there's a slight variation.
Is it backed by popular demand?
Backed by popular demand. So, this week, James, it's just going to be
it's
you put to the
Pressure's
test
on. Yeah,
and
cool.
The listeners at home, so get your pens and pencils out at home. I'll give you a second just to go and fetch them. But what we'll be talking about today is scenarios. So last week we did some of the cricketing terms and what they meant. Today we'll do scenarios and whether you think the batsman is out in that scenario or that situation.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you five different situations.
Cool.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ready. Born ready.
So here's scenario one. The ball gets called a wide, right?
Mm-hmm.
The batsman is out of his ground, but the ball then hits the wicketkeeper's helmet and then goes onto the stumps.
What?
Is what? The batsman out or not out in that situation? So it's gone, it's a wide.
Yeah, it's a wide.
Hits his helmet somehow.
Which it used to be, is that still runs? Is that changed now? That
so you still get a run for a wide.
Penalty runs as well. Penalty runs fit in the helmet? Is that not a thing?
It's not specified whether the helmet is on his head or on the ground. So it
okay.
could be on his head. It's whether just hit the helmet.
Well, I know you can be stumped from a wide. So I'm going to go with out.
That is correct.
Yes.
So that's one for James.
Knowledge.
If you get 5 out of 5 here, I'll be very impressed.
Thanks, mate.
Okay, second question. I expect that was quite an easy one, so we expect everyone at home to get them. Second question. The umpire miscounts.
Ooh.
So he miscounts, there's been 6 deliveries, it now goes on to the 7th delivery, and there is a wicket on that delivery. Is that out?
Yeah. I think that's out.
That is correct.
Yes.
That's 2 from 2.
God.
Very good, very good. I hope you're getting these at home, by the way. On to question 3. The batsman avoids a stumping, but mm-hmm. breaks the stumps with his own bat on the way back. Is that out or not out?
Right, I'll give everyone time at home to
have a go.
Get your answers down. I will go with not out.
That is correct, James. That's 3 from 3. That's
3 from 3.
Here we go. the striker, this is the 4th one. The striker dives back to make his ground. The bails are taken off. His body is not behind the crease at this point when the bails are taken off. But a glove that he's holding in one of his hands... So he's not got both gloves on the hand.
Yeah, I get it. Where's his bat?
Okay. His bat's in his hand.
Yeah.
Somehow the glove's ahead of his hand, right?
What? He's got magic
glove
hands.
The glove that he's holding, the finger has crossed the line, but he's holding it. He's not physically on him.
Okay.
Is that out or not out?
So his glove that he's holding, the finger is over the line?
The fingertip is over the line, just over the line.
So when I think
however,
about...
his body or his bat or anything else
yeah.
is not over the line.
Is his glove holding the bat? No. Is his glove holding the bat? The glove he's got in one hand, has that got the bat? No, it hasn't got the bat in it.
No, he's just physically holding this glove. So say
okay.
he might have the glove in his left hand, his bat
so
might
from
be in his right
know,
hand.
From what I know, and we'll discuss this later as well, if you haven't got the bat, if the glove isn't touching the bat, it isn't part of like, whatever that is, whatever that means, it isn't part of the bat. So it's. I'm going to say that's not, that is, you would be out. No, you'd be out. So if he was trying to get back in, he'd be out if the bails were taken
you're
off.
You're going without?
Out.
That's incorrect.
No!
The answer is not
what?
Out.
Can you try and explain that quickly again? Sorry, I got
So basically, he's got a glove. He's holding a glove. So what a lot of batsmen
he's not wearing
do,
a glove, he's holding it.
No, he's holding it, because okay. what a lot of batsmen do, if their palms get sweaty, they want to...
Their knees weak, arms
yeah,
heavy,
just,
yeah?
So if they have sweaty palms and the gloves are getting sweaty and they want to have a break and let their hands get some air, they hold the glove and it's that glove that they're holding is over the line, but because they're holding it, that still counts if it's so over the line.
He's in.
He's
okay.
Not out.
Okay, yeah, cool.
So that's three from,
that's
three
hard,
from
though.
Four.
That's not bad, though.
That was a bit of a curveball for you back home. Then finally, the fifth one.
Okay.
There's a fair delivery been bowled. The batsman then goes towards the stumps and the batsman uses his bat. So the batsman plays a shot. The fielder then throws the ball at the stumps. He's out of his ground. He's in his ground. And he uses his bat to stop the ball hitting the stumps.
Ooh. So he's purposely blocked it from being...
He's in his ground.
He's in his ground, though. I don't get it.
Okay, right. Let me reiterate. Okay.
Yeah, cool.
Right, so the guy's played a shot.
Yeah.
So I might have got this slightly wrong. Hang on. The guy's played a shot.
Yeah.
The ball's then... Let's say the ball's ballooned up in the air.
Catch it.
Right, no, he's played it into the ground. Okay. The ball balloons up into the air.
Yep.
The ball's then going to go and hit the stumps.
Oh,
the guy's then used his bat.
Okay.
So I shouldn't have brought a fielder in there. So the guy's then used his bat to hit the ball away from the stumps that was going to hit the stumps.
Yeah.
Is that out or not out?
I think that's not out.
You think that's not out?
Yeah. I don't know how... Yeah, I think I've seen people do it before. Maybe not.
Obviously. That is correct.
Yeah.
It's not out. So you got four from five. So that was a very good effort from
not
you,
bad.
Jane.
Good strike rate.
Anyone that's got five from five, feel free to tweet in and say that you got five from five. We'll probably not send you a prize. We might even give you a...
We'll read your name out. We'll read your name out next week.
That's Burst. If you just type in Burst on Twitter, it's Burst. .com.
Or.co.uk.
Or.co.uk.
Or tweet Tim.
Yeah, or tweet me and we'll, you know, might give you a retweet or something.
Or me, at J Furnish.
That was Timmy Teasers. Okay, so now we move on to the gossip and we'll also review what happened in the last test match in Adelaide. So obviously a very, very disappointing test match for England. We were in a strong position going into the final day. James, obviously one of the big talking points was the toss right at the start. If we look back at Joe Root winning the toss and
yeah,
bowling, what he said at the time was he wanted the best opportunity for England to take 20 wickets, but do you think that's quite... I saw it was quite a negative
yeah,
move.
It was. It seemed he saw what there was a bit of cloud cover, but it didn't seem like the right thing to do. And I think you knew, didn't you, after the first day, Australia smashed it, really, didn't they?
Some of the runs in that first innings.
I think everyone got a start for them. They had Warner, Khawaja, Smith, Hanscom, all got 30 and above. Then Marsh, and I think it was Marsh and Payne put on quite a...
Marsh.
Hefty partnership, and their tail wagged again. Cummings got 44.
Yes, I think that was important, Cummings' innings.
Their tail's been really good so far, hasn't it, really?
Compared to ours, it has.
Yes.
I mean, they've blown our tail end away. I think that's been a big turning point, because
yeah,
notoriously our tail's been able to score runs. If you look back, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, Broad and Swan used to be guys that could score 50-60 for you quite regularly. I think Broad still averages above 30 in Test cricket, and he's not scored a run for...
Wow,
a long time.
Scared of the bouncer still, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that's a key point.
Yeah,
tail end's not scoring.
Yeah, tail end, and I'd say spin.
Yes.
Spin and tail end, like the tail wagging, has been two factors. You say the batting hasn't been too, well, not too dissimilar, but we've been in the game sort of until some turning moments. Like this game we were in until the final day.
Well, I think you have to credit England for the way that we came back. I think...
And thanks to Steve Smith for not enforcing a follow-on as well.
Yeah.
Which could have been another... It's two big decisions from both captains that have...
Big turning point. Apparently after that that sort of evening, he didn't sleep. He had to take sleeping tablets because he was that worried about the decision that he made. Anybody that didn't watch it, England were in the mire. We were well behind in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, what were we, 200, 250
well,
behind?
Yeah, it was over 200, obviously, because they could have enforced a follow-on and they just
about 200.
Didn't.
They didn't, and
we got it
swinging round corners that night. It was very much English conditions that evening, which we talked about last week. We thought it was going to be more English conditions. It certainly was that night.
Mm.
And I tell you what, Steve Smith didn't look the player he was against a swinging ball. I think we had a couple of reviewed decisions. It was amazing the amount of reviewed decisions there were in
there
the game.
There was a great bit of probably people have seen with the Barmy Army asking to review it.
Yeah,
a big shot of the crowd when he didn't have any reviews left.
Yeah,
and they're all giving it the T sign, and he's all jittery as he is.
It's the Barmy Army got right stuck in, didn't it? It was brilliant. I think Joe Root batted obviously very well in that in that innings, and it was just really disappointing as an England fan. I can remember I woke up at sort of half three to watch the game.
Yeah, and it was pretty much, did we lose someone on the third ball?
Wokes went early.
Wokes on the third ball, and then Root was gone by the third over.
And then I went back to bed.
Yeah, it wasn't great, was it? It's just a bit of it's a shame, really.
Yeah. I mean, it's fortunate that we've sort of done this podcast a little bit later, because if we did this a few days ago, I'd be having a real rant about England's state of affairs in this test match, which is underway. We've seen the first day, and we've done very well. We will talk about that a little bit later, but yeah. I think the way that England came back and the way that England played have sort of given them confidence going into the rest of the series.
Joe Root at the toss said, obviously, they had a half performance in the second test, and now they need a full performance.
Yeah, I think the way that we played the short ball in that game was particularly poor.
It's been bad. Yeah, well, it's bad before. It's, been, wasn't it? It's just not great.
It's been poor throughout. Moen Ali, the differences with Moen Ali in line. Do you have the figures?
Yeah,
there?
I do. This is the thing I wanted to bring up quite a lot. You can just see. This is not including yesterday's play, because obviously I think Lyon take a week yesterday, I'm not sure. No. So Lyon's bowled 109 overs, so this is from the two first tests, 109 overs, 27 maidens, 250 runs for 11 wickets. Moen Ali, 63 overs, 11 maidens, 196 runs and 2 wickets.
Yeah.
And it's just not good enough, is it?
It's not being able to hold up an end.
That's what you need, especially in, well, it'll be interesting to see when England bowl in maybe these hot conditions as well.
Yeah. I mean, you can talk about injuries all you like, but at the end of the day, if you're not injured, that if you're not fit to bowl, then we need to think about getting somebody else in the side. And
yeah,
you know, hopefully we'll be fit for this game. I mean, we haven't seen England bowl yet, but hopefully we'll be fit for this game. I think that's a key area. Actually, Nathan Lyon's got Moen Ali out in every innings,
and he's been amazing against left hand. It's been ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah,
and I think maybe one of the reasons they pushed Bairstow up. I know we're going to maybe in a bit. But they pushed Bairstow up, put an extra slot, didn't they? It kind of breaks the left hander.
Yeah,
slots you have, so you haven't got so many left-handers coming in after each other as well.
I know we were calling for that last week.
I'll take that one.
Some of the things that we actually got right, and many of the things we haven't got right.
Not many.
It was Craig Overton's first test. I thought he went okay. I mean, he got out Steve Smith.
Yeah.
I think was that the first time Steve Smith's been bowled? Oh, get that! Can you get that stat up?
God, what am I looking at? Sounds specific.
Steve Smith hasn't been bowled out for something like 3 years or something.
Really?
Or 95% of his dismissals aren't bowled or something like that. And Overton was the first person to bowl him in a long time. I thought he batted well as well.
Yeah, he saved really what could have been an even bigger deficit.
He got 40 odd.
Yeah, he put on quite a good partnership with Wokes, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he got a lot of short stuff, which is not easy when you see your top order batsman. If you're a bowler and you're watching all your top order batsmen get rolled over by the short ball, it doesn't fill you with confidence. And I think Overton, fair play to him. I mean, I didn't give him that much credit.
No, I don't think anyone did really, did we?
No, and I think he did pretty well. So
proved us wrong. Maybe he's listening.
Yeah, fair play to Overton. I think someone like James Vince, it was a bit like same old story.
Yeah.
Vince got out in a pretty soft fashion. I can remember he was out driving.
That's
his thing.
His go-to thing is getting out driving.
Yeah, and that's obviously what he got out of the test team for, playing sort of flirty drives and this kind of thing. So have you got the stat up there about Smith?
I couldn't find it.
No, don't worry
about it. I'll take your word for it.
He just doesn't get bowled. The point is, he doesn't get bowled very often.
He's hard to get out.
Very hard to get out, and he got out. He was pretty unlucky to get out in the second innings as well. It was one of those perfect balls by Wokes that hit the top of off stump.
Yeah,
impact umpire's call, hitting umpire's call. Just like I said, mad how many reviews there were. There was something like 8 to 10 reviews that were kept going the other way or just didn't get.
I think England might look back on this as like a. I think it is. Well, you're going to look back. It's a massive turning point, isn't it?
Yeah,
they could have got. If just a few. A lot of things did go their way, but if a few more things, if they got even luckier. Could have been going 1-1 into at the Wacker.
Okay, quickly we'll just sort of mention some of the things that happened since then going into the next test.
Yep.
England's off-field antics seem to be getting worse. Ben Duckett is a player who is involved with the England Lions. He's a guy that could potentially come into the England team. He's in the England Lions. So
he's played, hasn't he, before? I think he's had
Has he played? He might have played one day. Has he played? Oh, sorry, he has played Test cricket.
He's played four Test
matches. He might have played in India.
Yeah, he played four Test matches. Average of 15. So
is that in India? Did he play?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's played Test cricket, and he's one of these guys. If he went out and scored, I don't know, 150 in one of the Lions games, he could be straight in the side the way the batting's been going. And he's poured a drink over James Anderson in a bar.
The same bar.
Is it the same one?
It's
the same one as the headbutt.
So headbutted the guy. And it was the day they lifted the curfew. It's just, God.
They're putting something in the drinks. Yeah. Definitely in that bar.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just mad. I mean, Anderson's fobbed it off as being a non-incident.
He's going to, isn't he? He's not going to.
Very much like the Bairstow incident, it's been dubbed a non-incident. But if you're Ben Duckett, why put yourself in that situation? If you're trying to get into the Test team, why go out? Why pour a drink over someone's head? Why drink at all? Like, you don't have to drink.
It's what he's been known for now as well. Until maybe he ever gets in the side and scores some runs, he'll be the guy who poured a drink over James Anderson.
Yeah. And I mean, England have been dubbed this drinking culture, and I don't think it is, but you know, after the Stokes incident, you've got to question the management as well. You've got to have a bit about you and think, we are going to be under scrutiny. We need to have these things under wraps. Don't be going out so much to the extent where you are going to have the microscope on you. So I think we brought it on ourselves a little bit with that. But that was the main gossip going in. I mean, we can mention Ben Stokes. For anybody who's not seen, Ben Stokes hit 90-odd for Canterbury. I don't know why we keep bringing him up.
Yeah, I know. Do you remember the first one we did? We're like, he'll be there for the third test. And now it's just like, well,
he's not going to play probably, but he's scoring runs. So that's good for him and good for Canterbury.
It'll be interesting when he next plays for England.
Great for Australia. Apparently he's in the one-day squad.
But they still don't think he's going to play.
Why pick him in the one-day? Why waste a spot? Pick someone else.
I don't know.
It's a bit mad. But that was what happened in the last test. And I guess we can go and now go and talk about what's been happening in this test, which is very, very interesting. Okay, so now we move on to the current game that's going underway. We're actually going to be talking about the first day, but by the time this goes out, 2 days would have gone past, so bear with us on that one. But with regards to the first day, England are currently 305 for four.
Correct.
David Milan, who I've said is a great player throughout. I've backed Milan to score runs. fair play to David Milan. I watched it this morning. I thought he was absolutely superb. The way that England, I predicted that England would get obliterated in this game, they still might. But the way that we've performed so far, and David Milan.
And Johnny Bairstow as well.
And Johnny Bairstow and Stoneman, the way that he played to start with.
My boy.
I think the main difference is the way that we've played the short ball. I think some of the guys have made a conscious effort either to take it on or to sway and duck it.
Stoneman got hit. I think it was by Hazelwood.
Yes.
And his helmet basically broke.
Yes.
So fair play. Yes. He's not too bad with the short ball, to be fair to Stoneman. You know, dig it out. We can talk about that as well. Let's talk about it now.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of controversy with that dismissal. There was... So it got given not out, and then it went to the umpire's decision, and it was pretty inconclusive whether he A, hit it, and then B, did it hit the correct glove? Because
it was very weird.
If your glove is off the bat, and the ball hits that glove and is then caught, because it's not in contact with the bat, that's not out. There was an incident in 2005 with Michael Kasperwicz, a really famous test match at Edgbaston, where Harmison bowled him a bouncer. The ball hit Kasperwicz's glove that was not holding the bat, and it got caught out, and we won the game by two runs. It was one of the most iconic moments.
It's the best test match of all time.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. In our view, it will be. Yeah, but...
Great bit of commentary as well, if anyone was good, listen to it.
Yeah, well, which one? The Channel 4
2005,
one?
Yeah. Richie Beno, I think.
Yes.
I could do my impression, but I won't.
Beno, Beno's commentary was very good. Oh, so you are
Baden! It's a great bit of commentary if anyone hasn't listened to it.
Yes. And so it was sort of reminiscent of that, and it was pretty inconclusive. We got given not out. I think it's transpired that he probably was out.
Yeah.
At the time of the dismissal, you probably can't give it out because it was pretty inconclusive. I think Joe Root even tried to send Stoneman back.
I'll give you a story to this. I was watching the cricket, fell asleep. I woke up as this was happening, and it was Root like shooing Stoneman back to the crease.
Right.
As he was walking off, there's a lot of confusion, and I fell back asleep. But
oh, I see.
It's been a lot of confusion about it. Obviously, there's no conclusive evidence, I don't think, but they're giving it.
I don't know. Well, he's out. So
yeah, he's
evidence. In the dressing room now. Yeah. So, but I mean, a great effort by Stoneman. He showed a lot of courage to get. He got 50, didn't he?
Yep.
Alistair Cook. My actual tip to be top run scorer in the series.
Good shout, mate. Do you want an update on his stats?
Yeah, go on, throw him at me.
Through five innings, he's averaging 13.8.
Anybody that actually chose to take my advice, I do apologise.
Anyone who chose to take my advice of Mark Stoneman as highest run scorer?
Yep.
Yeah. He is behind Milan now. So he was ahead until Milan smashed it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but Cook's, this is a real
issue.
Cook goes through these phases of scoring heavy runs, and he goes through phases of not scoring any runs at all. And he's obviously one of those patches.
I'm just getting up his stats now.
How long? Cook can never be dropped, but how long do you think Cook's going to be thinking, if I'm not scoring runs at a certain point, I might give it up? He's played 150 test matches for England.
Yeah.
He's not had a break.
No, he hasn't. I said, he just scored 243 in the summer, which I completely forgot about.
against
the West Indies?
The Windies.
If you remember that. I vaguely remember it now. But he's just on a bad run of form. But, 2-7, 37, 16, 7.
Wow. Imagine if Cook was firing in this series and we've got these other new guys coming in scoring as well. We'd actually be... doing all right.
But Dreamland.
Yeah, disappointing from Cook. Hopefully he will come round. I mean, we're halfway through the series, but he needs to score. If England are going to turn this around, Cook needs to score runs.
Yeah,
that's just
definitely.
A fact. Yeah. Same with Root, but Cook definitely needs to step up. Vince, I think,
he
grafted hard.
Behind again.
Yeah.
Which, as we said earlier, is just his go-to dismissal at the moment.
And then Root got strangled down the leg side, which was disappointing. It's one of those things as a batsman, you just sort of take it on the chin. It's one of that you can't really do much about it. It's an instinct to try and play the ball down there. Yeah. And he got caught behind. And then a great partnership between Milan and Bairstow, who went up to number six, like you said earlier. We've been calling for, I think everyone's been calling for it, who's been on the show.
Yeah, he should be there, shouldn't he?
And if Bairstow gets in tomorrow, he's one of these guys that can take the game away from you. Milan is a... Yep. An excellent player, but Bairstow has got other gears that he can go to, and he can really push on.
Still slagging off Milan.
No. Look, Milan's. I love Milan now. He's great. But Bairstow and Moinelli.
Yeah.
Moinelli coming in a situation where England have a platform. If England can bat for an hour tomorrow morning without losing a wicket, Moinelli can cause some real damage. So it's really
important. I was going to say to you, what do England need to do? What do they need to get to? Put himself in the best position.
The most important period tomorrow is going to be the first hour because it's the new ball. And we've spoken earlier about the tail being exposed to this Australian attack. And if the tail are exposed to this new ball, England could be out for 350. And 350 on this pitch, we're under threat of losing the game. Now, if England want to win the game, we need to score another at least 150 runs.
Yeah, you want to look at, you need 450, don't you?
I think we need 450, and I think that's realistic. If these guys can bat for an hour, set it up for Moinelli, set it up for the tail to wag and score a few more runs when the bowlers are tired. I mean, the best thing about today is our bowlers haven't had to bowl, and they've been able to put their feet up and watch our batsmen bat well, which they haven't been able to do throughout the series, really.
Mm.
So if England can bat for an hour, Bairstow, it'd be great to see Bairstow and Ali try and push the scoring on after that first hour.
Yeah, you'd obviously see Ali come in and just play some shots, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and by lunchtime, if England are in a strong position or a 400 plus and we can go out and play some shots just after maybe an hour after lunch, then hopefully declare and put Australia in. That's the dream.
What's the reality?
The reality is Stark and Hazelwood have a new cherry, and they will come hard at England tomorrow morning. But that first hour is going to be crucial. But England are in a strong position.
Yeah, and let me just bring up the most pointless stat of all time, but England have never lost the Wacker when they've made 300 in the first innings.
300 plus in the first innings?
Yeah, made 300 in the first, never lost. And they've always lost when they failed to do so.
That's a very, very good stat.
That stat's from Opta, by the way.
That stat has made me feel a bit better about things.
But it's, well...
Stats are stats, aren't they?
Stats are stats.
But yeah, that's what England needs to do. What worries me maybe the most is their bowling attack is a lot sharper than ours. Their bowling attack is better than ours, and they were only able to take four wickets in a day. I look at our bowling attack on a wicket, let's be honest, is a batting wicket. Can our bowlers take 20 wickets on it?
I don't think they bowl very well, Australia, to be fair. And also they brought in an all-rounder this time as well, and they brought in
Mitchell Marsh.
Yes. Do you think that's something to do with those three fast bowlers having a lot to do?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's positive signs for England that you have to bring in another bowler.
It's common practice if you're playing on a wicket that's batsman friendly, play an extra bowler.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be harder work and you need to give those guys a rest. If you're playing on a wicket that's a green seamer that's easier to bowl on, play an extra batsman. It's pretty straightforward. But Mitch Marsh is a guy that's been in and out of the Australian side. He's not performed very well. I'm quite happy to see him in the side. When he did bowl yesterday, he just got scored off very, very comfortably. I don't think Mitch Marsh is very good with the bat either. He's more of a one day 2020 player. So I'm happy that they selected him. And I think Peter Hanscom got dropped, didn't he? So I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty happy with that. I'm quite happy that Sean Marsh is playing. I don't think he's a threat with the ball at all. And it's good that Nathan Lyon, as we said earlier, didn't take a wicket.
Yes, because really I said crucial. He's been a bit of an X factor, hasn't he?
The ball wasn't turning, to be fair. The ball was just going straight on. There was nothing in it for the spinners, which isn't great for Moeen Ali, but Moeen Ali's not turning the ball anyway. On this wicket, Moeen might even turn the ball the other way.
So it's all positive then, it seems like.
Happy at the moment. By the time this podcast goes out, my predictions will probably be wrong. But
we'll have to wait for England to bowl, don't we?
Yeah, we'll have to wait till English to bowl. I think in order for England to win this game, that the new ball is so crucial. Because there is always a bit in it with the new ball, and you have to try and take three or four. I mean, we were 130 for four.
Yeah.
I mean, we were in real trouble for this partnership between Milan and Bairstow. So 134, you're looking at it and thinking, well, this same old story, England, this could be series over. But, you know, one partnership. And I mean, it's exactly the same as that partnership that Smith and Marsh had in the first test match where we had them four down for not very many and they've gone on and we've done exactly the same thing. So it's important in those crucial moments that we have stepped up and it's good to see. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be crucial that first hour. But if England can get the ball in the right areas with Anderson and Broad, we do have an opportunity definitely to win this game. But it will be interesting. I mean, what are your predictions for the game after
for
day
the game?
One?
I've always been quite positive. I still am not sure about England. As you say, it all is down to that first hour, first morning. England need to get over 400, otherwise it'll be bleak again, I think. It's not our type of bowler friendly wicket. We don't bowl fast, don't bowl many bounces, but
correct.
We do have, like, obviously this whack pitch helps that in terms of if you haven't got too much bounce, you're going to get more bounce than you would normally at, say, I don't know, Brisbane or whatever. Like you say, so like hopefully you need a bowler to step up. Overton, who's not my new favourite bowler of all time.
Yeah, right.
It'd be good to see him get some more wickets.
The big tall guys like Broad and Overton might enjoy it a little bit more. There's a bit more carry.
Yeah, yesterday the ball was carrying over over Payne's head. So
that's positive that our bowlers can get the most out of their pace because their pace isn't great. So that's a positive. But I don't think that our paces are really going to trouble the Australian batsmen.
No.
I think that there'll be a draw at this point. Cool. I think the wicket is, and the
a
forecast.
Draw?
Yeah.
I said, the forecast. So what I heard yesterday was there's going to be 3 days of sun. So we had the one day. So now we're 2 days of boiling hot sun.
Yeah.
And then it gets cloudy, bit of rain on the fourth day, and then colder weather as well.
It could be. That could be interesting.
Yeah.
I personally think if Australia can only take four wickets in a day.
Do you need something special? Do you need some sort of like a magic spell from someone, don't you?
You need a magic broad spell.
It's something for Broad to step up for, isn't it?
One of those broad spells, or alternatively, Australia could come out and David Warner could have a session where he takes the game away from you and scores 100. He can score 100 in a session.
Yeah.
So someone like Broad for us to step up and someone like Warner for them to step up. I think that you know, individual brilliance is the way you're going to win a game on a wicket like this. I mean, it'd be perfect for Ben Stokes. if he was coming in next, it'd be
Ben
perfect.
But, should we just quickly talk about what if? So if England do lose this game, let's talk about that. What happens then? Do you completely change the team? Do you just chuck in some debutants or change it up completely, or what do you do? If you're Joe Root in the selectors, whatever, it's 3-0, what do you do?
Unfortunately for us, there's not that many players that we can bring in. There's not players knocking on the door right now that are out there at the moment, certainly. I mean, they're too busy pouring drinks on people's heads. There's nobody knocking on the door, so I don't know who you would bring in.
Does Wood get a chance?
Not Wood.
Brought in, maybe. Do you chuck in, is it Crane? Or is that too much of
Crane? Crane would come in. In fact, that's a good shout. I reckon they'd play Mason Crane in one of the two, maybe at Sydney. I could see Mason Crane playing a game if England were out of the series. Yeah. Who else could there be? I mean, yeah, maybe Mark Wood. I mean, Keaton Jennings got runs for the Lions the other day, but I mean, he's had his chance. I wouldn't bring Jennings back in. I mean, maybe Tom Curran.
Yeah.
He went particularly well in the friendlies, so maybe Tom Curran could come in. But like I said, there's not a load of players that deserve to get a game. Maybe Folks.
And I think everyone's played well. Everyone's had their one score, sort of, haven't they?
Yeah.
So it's hard to say you're dropped, but
it's still a test match. I know if we're 3-0 down, but if you've got two test matches, they're still Ashes test matches, and you have to take them seriously. You can't just throw away the series. No. I know we have to give guys chances, but you know, 3-2 looks a lot better than 5-0. You know, if we go to Australia and lose 5-0 again, you know, that's like three times in the last four series or whatever.
It's
embarrassing. I mean, we have to put up a fight. So hopefully we'll still be in the series after this test match. We should be in the series after the first day.
But who knows? It's England, so.
It is England.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
A lot will depend on that, like I said, that first session, that first hour. But
can't wait to watch it.
I feel a lot better about things waking up and watching it this morning than I have previously.
Was it best day of the series for England, would you say? Except maybe the swinging ball last session where they got quite a lot of wickets last.
That was a session though, wasn't it? I mean, yeah. That was just a session. That was the best day for England, I'd say. Definitely. Mm. I'm just glad that their bowlers have had a day in the sun having to toil, because that's what our bowlers have had to do. So if you're Stark and Hazelwood and you have to bowl for another, you know, few hours tomorrow hard, then that's gonna reap the rewards for England in the second innings, because they will be tired. So that's going to play a huge part, I think, the amount of overs that their bowlers bowl, because we seem to be bowling all the overs at the moment.
Yes.
But very interesting stuff. And look, hopefully England can pull it around and we can still be in the series and the next podcast.
Still have some relevance.
We can have something cheerful to talk about. But we'll have guests on our next podcast, I'm sure, and we can discuss what's going to be going on after this test and also the infamous Boxing Day test, which is the biggest sort of test match in the calendar.
Yeah, can't wait.
Certainly if you're Australian, but it's a worldwide thing. So the next test at the MCG, hopefully it will be 2-1 Australia and not 3-0, but we'll see what happens. But please join us next time for our next Ashes segment. But thanks for tuning in.